going to pick up where I left off in last week's episode by repeating something I said in the closing comments of the episode. What I said was, it's really hard to accomplish much if you're one of those people who give up at the first sign of defeat, or the first sign of an obstacle, or the first sign of a roadblock. I believe those were my exact words. To me, when you are resilient, words like obstacles and roadblocks don't exist. In this episode, we're going to examine further what it is to be resilient, to be that person who doesn't let obstructions of any kind stand in the way. Resilience is one of those traits that you need to have on some level if you want to succeed or simply recover from a setback. It doesn't matter if you have a great business idea, the right resources to implement the idea, or even if in every episode of this podcast, I share with you resources to help make your efforts easier. If you don't have certain key characteristics, nothing you want or hope to achieve will happen. If you listen to the other episodes of this podcast, you already know what some of those characteristics are. Episode 3 through 6 alone highlight some of those qualities. Are you ready to hear more about resilience and how it can help you move forward even when faced with a setback? Let's get started. Welcome to Evolving Life Podcast. In this podcast, we explore the continuously changing facets of our lives. How we adapt is the lessons we learn along the way and is the key to living our best lives. This podcast is your source for the motivation and encouragement you need to make your evolving life exactly what you want it to be. My name is Marlene, and I am your host. Join me as I share the experiences, the lessons, and ideas for living an optimal life. Have you ever lived in a closely knit community? If you have, then you know what I mean when I say you can know more about other people's business than you should. Not necessarily because you're nosy or ask questions you shouldn't ask, but most likely because you hear things. You hear about other people who lost their job or whose business failed, amongst other things. And because you live in such a small community, you get to see what happens to these individuals. Let's stick with the theme of the neighbor and focus on one particular neighbor, the one whose business failed. The community is feeling sorry for this person, wondering how he or she is going to get by. Yet, a few months later, that same neighbor is doing just fine. In fact, he or she is driving a brand new car and is renovating his or her home. While still not being too nosy, you hear through the grapevine that the neighbor everyone was feeling sorry for months ago now have a thriving online business. I think it's clear that I have a really vivid imagination. And to explain why this neighbor is doing well, I could go into a multitude of directions. So I'll just share 3 reasons why I believe this fictitious neighbor landed on his or her feet. Here's my first scenario. I would think that possibly the neighbor has a family to support and had to find another source of income. So he or she took advantage of the internet and started an online business. What about this scenario? The business closed because it wasn't doing well, but they realized that the specialty items they sold in their store, even though it's not doing well in their community, could possibly do well online. So it would make sense to start an online business. I have one more scenario. Over the years the business was open, the owner realized a few items they sold was always selling out. They couldn't keep any of those particular items on the shelf. So when they had to close their physical business, they had a thought. Why not sell just those items? But instead of worrying about rent and other expenses that comes with a retail store, they would sell those items online, getting rid of their overhead expense almost completely. I could go on with more ideas of what may have happened, but let me ask you a question. What's the one thing all of those scenarios have in common? If you said resilience, then you are right on mark. this neighbor, for unknown reasons, their business failed. And instead of giving up, they kept moving forward. And in doing so, started another business that became financially beneficial to them. At least that's how it plays out in my mind anyway. The fact that resilience can make anything possible should appeal to all of us. It certainly does to me. As I mentioned in last week's episode, someone complimented me on how strong I am, and I thought that what I am is resilient. And of course, this made me wonder if resilience and strength are the same thing. The question led me to an article I found on businessinsider.com that highlighted the critical differences between resilience and strength. I'll share the link to the article in the show notes. What the article said was that resilience can be defined as the ability to recover and adjust easily to misfortune or change. While strength, on the other hand, or mental strength, isn't tied to hardship, but it can help when things aren't going according to plan. Reading that, I concluded that they are definitely not the same. Resilience is a defensive approach and strength is an offensive approach. But still, I wanted to understand the defensive aspect of resilience and what it means to be defensive in relations to being resilient. So here's what I realized. Being defensive is having these undeniable traits, which I call the four C's. The first C is for capacity. Capacity is having the ability, the competence to handle stressful situations effectively. It's having the know-how to face and deal with conflict calmly and efficiently. The next C is for confidence. What do we typically feel when we're confident? We believe in ourselves and our abilities. You can tie confidence to capacity in that when we can show our capacity, we feel more confident. When we feel confident, we achieve more. The next C is correlation. Having a sense of belonging allows us to feel as if our lives have purpose and meaning. It also makes us feel secure, which enables us to be resilient or defensive in life. The final C is control. When we realize we can control the outcome, it gives us the autonomy we need to feel motivated. Control encourages us to seek the results we want deliberately. After reviewing the four C's, isn't it easy to see how important resilience is when dealing with any setback you may experience in life? Evolvers, do you think you have these traits associated with being resilient? I think you do. I think we all have them. We just have to realize it's there and connect with them. I cannot stress enough how important it is to be resilient, to be defensive about the things we want in life, especially if you find yourself in a situation where there is a setback and you have to shift and decide what your next step will be. Speaking of shift, I'm going to share the other three methods to use after saying the mantra shift when you're experiencing a setback. Before sharing them, let's do a quick recap of the first three methods I shared in episode 14. Then I'm going to tell you how to get your free shift workbook. If you're new to Evolving Life and this is your first episode, I recommend listening to episode 14 to fully understand the shift method. Okay, so let's recap. In episode 14, I mentioned using the mantra shift when describing your setback. You do this by revealing the four key aspects of what went wrong. The goal, to remove the confusion and find clarity. Once you have clarity, you will shift again to expand. When you expand, you're delving further into what happened. There's a twist to this method though. You can't include your emotions when you answer the questions. How, why, what? The next method is process. When you process, you're bringing back the emotional component and identifying what you're feeling because of the setback. In addition, you're acknowledging your emotions by using five components, which are called connections, fillers, responsibility, reframe, and reminders. Let's pause here so that I can tell you more about the shift workbook and how to get it. And then we'll continue and I'll share the additional three methods after you use the shift mantra. Last week, I started a short series on how to deal with setbacks because it's something we all experience in life. It occurred to me not too long ago that when it comes to a crucial event like this, we all deal with it differently. Even though I may choose pizza to deal with my angst, it doesn't mean you will do the same. Or what about this? I may decide to use the F word and jump right back into the fray and try again, but you may choose Ben and Jerry's for a week. Even though we handle horrible outcomes differently, in the end, if we're resilient, and I hope you are, eventually you're going to put on the thinking cap and jump right back in. The question is how? Do you repeat the same process and hope for a better result? We've all heard the saying, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Perhaps the saying won't apply to you and the second time is a charm. We should be real though. Chances are, repeating the same process isn't advantageous. At least not without understanding what happened and tweaking your efforts to achieve a better result. I've told you all about my shift mantra, and with it is a method for possibly ensuring that your efforts the next time around produces a different result. The shift workbook is the key to not just moving from a setback, but moving forward with a better understanding of what went wrong, and possibly the answer to how to do it better to achieve the results you want. This workbook is based on the 6 methods you've heard in this 2-episode series. Each method to the next level by elaborating further on it and providing the exercises you need to do the introspection necessary to ensure you're not repeating old mistakes and expecting better results. My recommendation is to download the workbook and print it. If you don't have a printer at home to handle the 44 pages, take the file to your local printer or office supply store and print it there. With a hard copy in hand, you can begin the hard yet rewarding work of scrutinizing your past efforts to make sure your next move is not perfect, because nothing is ever perfect, but improved. In episode 14, when I first told you about the shift workbook, I asked you 3 key questions. I'm going to ask you those questions again. Is it time to take charge of the situation? Is it time to be proactive? Is it time to connect with and use your personal power? I hope your answer to these questions again is the same and you are ready to move forward with resolve, with persistence to make it happen. The link to the workbook is in the show notes. Okay, let's talk about the additional methods you can use after creating a shift mindset. I'm going to follow the same process I did in episode 14 and say shift, then mention the next step, shift, new objective. The past 3 shifts have been about understanding and processing what went wrong. Now you're going to look ahead. You're going to move forward. This is a central part of this shift method because this is where the next step takes shape. Starting here, it's about evaluating a plan, confirming that it measures up to the standards you need to achieve the results you want. One of the exercises you will use in this step is what I call success ability analysis. It's like a SWOT analysis in approach. You can consider it a unique spin or a familiar method to determine the strength and weakness of an idea. It doesn't matter if the idea relates to a business or if it's personal. With this analysis, you can analyze your approach, your idea, and confirm whether or not it can be successful. Once you complete this shift alone, you will have a better idea of what your next step should be. You'll be more confident in taking that next step. Let's shift again. Evaluate. You could tell yourself that you want to achieve a goal and have every intention of making it happen. Then you start and reality hits. The next thing you know, you're in a standstill because what you need is not readily available, whether it's finance or skills or something as simple as enough hands. That is why in this shift, you're going to optimize your efforts by asking and answering the question, what are the resources you need to have in place to achieve your aim. It becomes real when you can sit down and evaluate what your resources are, what are your needs, what do you have, and how are you going to get what you need. The previous method and this method is where your intentions are no longer aspirations, but a clear, defined goal. Let's shift one more time. Shift, empower. Empower means strengthening the process by being proactive, by maintaining the momentum. Neither one is easy when you're doing something new or even when trying again after a setback. Empowering is taking control of your life and making positive decisions about what you want. And while we link empowerment to how confident we are, its true power is using it to turn intentions into action. What are we saying when we empower ourselves? We're saying we want to succeed. We want to see our hard work pay off. Here's the thing though, empowerment doesn't just happen in our minds. It's also about seeking support and guidance from others. I also think it's about forming connections with others. This method, it's all about using empowerment to feel stronger, to magnify your commitment, and to maintain your resilience. If we want to stay focused, not procrastinate, and accomplish our task, empowerment is how we can make it happen. You can consider the traditional methods and the unique ones I recommend in this Shift workbook. Okay, Evolvers, here are my last words at the end of this brief series. With setback, everyone faces them at different instances in life. This is also one impediment that does not discriminate. It doesn't matter how old you are or how much money you have in the bank. It happens to all of us. How we deal with it, however, is what can set us apart. I just shared a technique, the Shift method, that I know works for me. And hopefully it will work for you if you decide to try it. Still, I want you to keep a few thoughts in mind if you are ever experiencing a setback. The first thought is, nothing lasts forever. In the moment, the result of a setback may seem unending, but that's not the case. Another thought to keep in mind is that you should never blame others. If you do the exercises in this workbook, you will explore defining and dealing with the emotions resulting from a setback. Don't shift the blame to one person. 9 times out of 10, you'll be wrong. The question is if you can face that truth. Here is something else to remember. A setback doesn't mean you're a failure. Don't self-blame and don't allow setback to define you. It should always be about the lesson you learn and using that knowledge to move forward. This leads me to the inspirational quote I want to share in this episode. It's from Henry Ford, the founder of Ford Motor Company. Some people think he invented the automobile, which isn't true. What he is known for is the methods he created to mass produce cars. Here is what he said about setback. Life is a series of experiences, each one of which make us bigger, even though sometimes it is hard to realize this. For the world was built to develop character. We must learn that the setbacks and griefs which we endure helps us in our marching forward. Thanks for listening, Evolvers. If you enjoy listening to Evolving Life, please share your thoughts on whichever medium you use to listen to your podcasts. See you on Monday for the next episode. That's the end of another episode of Evolving Life. You can connect with us online at fullerliving.com/community. You'll find the link in our show notes. While there, don't forget to share your thoughts.